John, thanks for joining us. Do you still look at that bridge and go, wow, my grandfather built that?
Oh, certainly a certain amount of pride, and every time we go across the bridge, it's a wonderful piece of work. It's a testament to the importance of the bridge that it's been voted number one in your 90 days of
events in Sydney.
Yeah.
Tell us about your grandfather, because we know the bridge that he built, but tell us about the man himself.
Well, he was born in Sandgate in Brisbane in 1867. He was educated both in Brisbane and in Sydney. First of all, in Ipswich, in Queensland, where he went to the North Ipswich Primary School, then to Ipswich Grammar, which he was ducks of, then to the University of Queensland, then down to Sydney, where he won the first Sulman Prize, the first engineering award at the University of Sydney.
What sort of bloke was he like, though? Was he an outgoing guy, or was he a details man?
He was certainly an outgoing person, very much so, and he had a good sense of humour, very whimsical. He was a very determined man, as we all know. He was involved in many projects of great significance over his career, not just the Sydney Harbour Bridge, but the Sydney Harbour Bridge, I think, would be obviously the fulcrum of his overall achievements. He was very family orientated. He had a wide group of friends. He was not just astute from an engineering point of view. He was politically and commercially astute. And I think one of the things that often crops up when we talk about the bridge is the fact that he was able to bring the population along with him.
He was certainly one of those visionaries, isn't he? Because at the time there was a fair bit of opposition to building the bridge.
There was a lot of opposition. He was greatly helped by, Premier Jack Lang at that time, who saw in John Bradfield the man that could make the dream come alive. But he had a lot of opposition. I mean, he actually worked on that project for well over 30 years. Family folklore has it, as I've said before on other occasions, that he first became really serious about building the bridge in 1896 when he and his young wife were walking around Milson's Point, and he spent some time discussing the possibility of a bridge with his wife on that particular day, and it's family folklore that from that time on he was really very, very much committed to.
So at family lunches and dinners, all you'd hear about was the bridge.
Well, I guess that's probably he's certainly very obsessed by it. But he was involved in many other projects.
Yep.
Of course, one of the favourite projects I liked was the electrification of the railways, the Sydney Underground Railway system, which he was responsible for. It's often forgotten that when the museum station was finished in 1927. It was generally regarded that many people internationally, as well as in Australia, regarded that the railway system we had then is probably the best in the world.
Yeah.
So it slipped a bit since then.
Yeah, Peter, when you think about your grandfather, you think to yourself, where did we go wrong after him?
Did anyone inherit his skills, Peter? I mean, do you walk into, say, places like IKEA without any fear in your heart?
No, I think you're quite right when you say grandfather was a visionary, and I think Jack Lang, you know, recognised that, and he made several comments to that effect. One of the things that's interesting is that Jack Lang said that grandfather was the first person who really foresaw that by 1950, population of Sydney would be over 2 million.
Yeah.
And when you consider that when the bridge was built, there were only about 200,000 people on the North Shore.
Yep.
He really did put something together which has lasted the test of time. Engineers say that the bridge will be in its current position, still useful in hundreds of years.
All right, and that's true. Peter, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
It's been a pleasure.
Good on you, Peter. Well done, Peter Bradfield, who's the grandson of John Bradfield.